All right, I knew I left my... I thought I left my broom around here someplace.
Campbell's got it in the next room.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, got he it. Borrowed it.
So Kevin Barker, with today's 5-2 win for the Blue Jays over the St. Louis Cardinals. Let me ask you, who's got the third best record in the American League right now?
Well, I looked it up right before you asked me that question. I do think, Jeff, it's your Blue Jays.
That's your Blue Jays.
Well, I'll take them. If you'll give them to me, I'll take them. I want them bad. They're doing so well. Supporting cast, sack bunts, sack flies, power out of the pen.
Small
little
ball, big balls. They got balls coming out everywhere.
Boy, it's a lot of fun when they're winning, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It is.
It just makes us happy.
I mean, it's kind of scary.
It is.
It's kind of scary because you
still don't know.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of...
you're hoping.
There's a whole lot of Miles Straw and stuff going on.
That's fine. Don't be saying that.
No, it's true.
They paid Miles Straw a lot of money.
Actually, they did.
I mean, tricked somebody.
But anyhow.
He's been doing well.
It is Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker. We're on Sportsnet 590. The Fan will... we're soon to join our friends on the TV side on Sportsnet. The number to call in, 416-413-3959. It's the back leg line. You'll hear Barker's voice. Leave a question or comment on today's game for us. If you don't feel like doing that, you can text us.
Yeah.
590-590. Name and location. S'il vous plaît. Like that? Dropped a little Francais there.
Man of the people. You're for everybody.
I'm indeed the man of the people. Not much doubt about that. So, a sweep of the Cardinals, as we all predicted. An off day.
I don't think we're shocked
tomorrow.
I don't think we're shocked they swept the Cardinals. I don't think that.
Well, considering the fact the Cardinals just finished beating the... I'm surprised. The Cardinals just finished beating the Dodgers. I thought the Cardinals series would... I thought this game would be tough. You know, the Eric Lauer game, the bullpen game. I mean, I just... You know,
and it's hard to sweep a good team on the road.
Bad on me, but I thought that this was the game where, and I should know by now that, I mean, these so-called bullpen games that the Jays are involved in, you know, John Schneider and Pete Walker seem to spin all the right, pull all the right levers in these games. I should have known it, but man, I mean, remember how we used to laugh and chuckle about you could take 10 teams in the National League and they'd be better than the best team in the American League? And don't look now, but the Jays have as many wins as the Phillies, I believe.
Well, they're tied.
They have the same amount of wins as the Phillies.
Well, I remember about 3 weeks ago, the Jays were like the 10th best team in the American League, which wasn't saying much.
No.
And now all of a sudden, look at them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's start with the pitching. I mean, obviously, Ernie Clement had a terrific game, but my goodness, Eric Lauer, four and a third inning. Braden Fisher, Spencer Turnbull gets the win. Shout out to Brendan Little, 31 pitches today after 24 pitches a couple of days ago. The Jays without Jeff Hoffman today as a result of his workload. Workload is something we talked to Pete Walker the other day. Workload is something that's really on their mind when it comes to these relievers. Brendan Little gutted it out, and then Yariel Rodriguez, his first Blue Jays save, and actually, according to Ben Shulman, his first save since 2021 in Cuba. He was a reliever in the Japanese Professional League, but apparently he wasn't a closer. He's a setup guy, so there you go. Oh, and by the way, he hit 99 miles an hour in getting that save.
Yeah, I think it's competitive. You know, I think the non-competitive Yariel Rodriguez is a thing of the past. You know, you got the split finger at 91. You got the slider that has the late break to it. He's throwing it to lefties. You mentioned the 99. I mean, the separation between the, 86, 87 slider that breaks one direction. You know, the fastball looks to me like it's got a little sink to it, maybe more run than sink. You got that. I mean, he's sort of jumping off the mound at you. You're getting Little and him back-to-back innings, good luck. I mean, Little basically a lot of the time says no idea where it's going. I mean, he's just throwing it. He ain't really pitching it, which if you're hitting
which
against,
is good.
If you're, I mean, it ain't because he's throwing 31 hitter, pitches or 37 pitches or 24
but
pitches.
But if you're a hitter, it's in the back of your head.
I mean, it's impossible. I mean, it's just how do you game plan against that? You really don't. I mean, you're hoping he throws one down the middle and you can have a decent swing at it and hopefully move it forward, as I just, John would like to say.
Yeah, I just want to jump in. Our friends on Sportsnet TV are joining us 5-2. The Blue Jays have beaten the St. Louis Cardinals. It is Blue Jays Talk with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. The number 416-413-3959. Name and location, please. And also, you can reach us via text at 590-590. We'll hear from the skipper, John Schneider, in a few minutes. We just finished talking about Yariel Rodriguez, his first Blue Jays save. I mean, we do have to talk about Ernie Clement. You know, again, let's finish up the
pitching first. Somebody's got to start the game. I mean, I think we got to stop talking about Lauer as a bullpen arm and sort of basically say he's getting a start next time through. I mean, unless Max comes up and, you know, all of a sudden wants to make his next start in 5 or 6 days, for me, it's Lauer. I mean, there's no question anymore who's getting the ball.
Just so we can set people up, Max Scherzer is making a rehab start at AAA Buffalo on Friday. John Schneider has said that they would like him to make two starts, but quite frankly, Max is calling the ball here, I think, so there is that chance. But then, of course, we've also factored in the Bowden Francis situation. You know, let's go right now to the manager, John Schneider.
Three wins, obviously. Tough team to sweep. They're playing well, too. I think kind of the way we did it, you know, tight games the first couple, and then everyone kind of doing their part today. You know, Ernie with a big day. Pitching was good. And I thought we ran the bases well the whole series, which I was really pleased with. But hopefully Kirky takes some BP tomorrow on the off day, keep it rolling. There's a lot of good things. It's tough to sweep on the road. It's tough to sweep anywhere. And, you know, they brought the energy today.
How's Ernie doing with Louis?
He's fine. Being that he's a hockey fan, we're going to call a lower body injury. I think he should be good to go. I think off day's coming, have a good time.
What did you think of the way the pitching plan worked for you guys today?
Pretty good. You know, runs are always important, you know. But I thought Lauer was really good. You know, the first inning gives up the run, throws the ball away, gives up the run. Hanging breaking ball for the homer, and then settled in and mixed his stuff. He was efficient. He could pitch, man. He can pitch. I hate taking guys out at 4 2/3. He was kind of at his pitch max. And Fish came in and did the job, but I thought it worked out good. I thought just get Spence in, get him out. The length will still be there for a while with him, and kind of just game state dictated Little and Yari. They were both good.
What did you think of, you mentioned Turnbull, but his first appearance in almost a year in the major leagues?
Last year. Good point. Yeah. I thought he was good. You know, it's so hard to judge guys when they're in the minor leagues with all the conditions being different, no adrenaline, no anything. Fastball was a little bit better than it has been in the minors, and his breaking stuff was good. Strike thrower, and he has pretty good feel of what he wants to do. So it was nice to kind of get him out there, see him in our uni, and look forward to kind of more of that.
Just a stretch like this, it's like 12 of 14, beyond just helping you on the standings, what does this do for like the vibes around the team?
Vibes are good here, man. This is a cool group. I've said it a lot. You know, a stretch like this is really nice, and it just kind of gives you a little bit more confidence, a little bit more belief. It's everyone on our team, which I'm really, really happy with and really impressed by. It's not one or two guys, you know what I mean? So it's hopefully it just builds confidence. We're playing against good teams too, you know, so it's showing, I think, the guys in there, and it's showing the league that we're kind of in that category.
Chris, yesterday, was kind of talking about the difference between last year and this year. Framed last year as like a learning experience that everyone in the org learned from. What do you think you or the team has learned from last year?
You never want to go last year's tough. You know, we're in a window where we're competing every single year, and we've been really successful the last 5 years or so. So I think, you don't want to go through a year like that. But if you're not learning from things, I think you're just kind of, you know, standing in place, if that makes sense. So there was some pretty deliberate adjustments, I think, from myself to the staff, to the players. Nothing crazy, you know, talent-wise, but I think kind of the mentality of what we want to do and what we want to stand for and who people want to view us as. So it's been fun. You know, it took a lot of work in the offseason and spring training, but it takes the guys to kind of buy into it and live it, and that's what they're doing.
What do you want to be viewed as?
Good question. I mean, I think when you look at us, you know, you can say, okay, they've won two team gold gloves, right? They can catch the ball. They have a lot of talent. And and they have veteran starting pitchers, right? So that's what you could easily say. I think the way we want to be viewed is that we play together. We run the bases well, and we play to win. It doesn't matter what you're doing individually. I love the – this is going to sound funny, but even just the effort on the bases, I think, sets a tone. Whether it's Bo, George, Vlad, anyone. You know, these guys are kind of doing things together. So I think that's kind of the way we want to be viewed. Again, it kind of goes into the category of not being the same guy every single day. It's been someone different. So I think playing to win, playing for one another, knowing that you have each other's back is kind of how I want teams to see us.
There you go, John Schneider. He will enjoy the off day tomorrow. I wonder if there'll be a little golf in the forecast.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll enjoy the plane ride, too.
The plane ride will be
some drinkies on that thing.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
St. Louis to Philly.
Mm. It's colder in the big leagues, too.
What is?
The drinks. They're ice cold.
I think it's just beer. I don't think they have mixed hard liquor on flights, I don't think. I'm just saying. I think it's wine and beer. I could be wrong.
You are sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, the last one I was on was the wine and beer.
When was that?
That was like 3 years ago.
Okay. Yeah. Move on. Yeah.
Mark Estrada got mad at me because I had his, he had his own personal brand that they stocked, and I had one of them. And he was,
I'm sure on those planes, I've been on quite a few of them.
Yeah.
If you ask for a drink, any drink, they'll get you whatever you want. At least the planes I've been on.
I don't know about that.
I don't know what plane you were on, but
416-413-3959, the back leg line. The Blue Jays have beaten the St. Louis Cardinals 5-2. Let's go to the text line, 590-590. If we can throw those texts up. Robert and Ajax wanted to give a huge shout-out to guys like Straw, Heinemann, Clement, Fisher, Lauer, etc. But every good team has guys like this who weren't a name at all. They've all produced and been huge parts of the season. And Smith from Windsor, also in the text line. Never too early to worry. Do you think the front office is on the phone looking for a fourth or fifth starter, or are they waiting for Scherzer? Smith, we'll take thanks so much for your text. Look, I think that, you got Max Scherzer. You got to wait and see what Max Scherzer is going to give you. I think you need to add another pitcher anyhow. This team will always add pitchers at the deadline. Mm-hmm. So let's just say it right now. They are going to add at least one pitcher at the deadline. Now, whether it's a starter or a reliever, Max Scherzer. You know, if Max Scherzer comes back and
is okay. You know, it'd be great.
No, okay. He can come back and he's okay.
Yeah.
That's one thing. But you don't want to get into a situation where Max Scherzer comes back, gives you five innings, can't make his next start, then is ready to go. I think we might as well assume right now that until Bowden Francis has figured out the last two spots in the rotation, there's always going to be sort of a question mark around them. And for that reason, I think that absolutely the Jays need to add a starting pitcher, but pitchers, plural, for me. I honestly, given the way, and this is no disrespect to John Schneider, but given the way he's had to use his pitchers this year, you really cannot have too much good pitching.
Yeah, they need an eighth inning guy or a ninth inning guy. They need an extra starter, maybe a number three starter, some guy that can take pressure. That's a lot to ask, but you're a good team. Like, let's be honest here. Like I said this, I don't know, 2.5 months ago, the MVP of this team might be the GM at the end of the year. He's going to have to go out and
do called the genius on Blue Jays talk last night.
I mean, that's a fair way, I guess, right now to say.
He was called the genius. Well, give him his flowers.
I was on
I'm going to give Ross Atkins his flowers. He was called the genius on Blue Jays talk last night.
So are you calling him a genius?
I think for now he is, yes.
I think they have the third best record in baseball. And the American League. I'm sorry. Yeah, look, I think every guy on the team is doing their part. Well, you laughing? They're doing their part,
laughing.
Which is, you
I
know,
so
again,
that.
Spring training, I don't think anybody could have expected this, for it to look this way, for the Heinemanns of the world to be doing what he's doing, like the sack bunt that he had to try and give him the lead. Like, everybody's just doing whatever John tells them to do, which is not the easiest thing to get a manager to have players buy into.
5-2, the Toronto Blue Jays, Barker's Blue Jays, have beaten the St. Louis Cardinals. They've swept the Cardinals. They've got an off day tomorrow. Then they open a 3-game series against the Philadelphia Phillies in Philadelphia. We're going to step aside, come back with more of your voice notes. Again, 416-413-3959. More of your texts. We'll take a look as well at the out-of-town scoreboard, get you set for the action tonight around the American League East. It's Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and Sportsnet. All right, time now for the Bet365 standings update. With Bet365, you can watch thousands of live games. You can build your own bet, and you can even make a bet while the game's still being played. 19-plus, play responsibly, Ontario only. The Jays are the only AL East team to have completed their play today. They are 38-30, 3.5 back of the first-place Yankees, who are 40-25.
That's crazy.
They are taking on the Kansas City Royals tonight. The Tampa Bay Rays are 36-31. They're taking on the Boston Red Sox, and the Baltimore Orioles, 26-39. Red Sox, by the way, are 33-36. The Orioles are 26-39, and they are taking on the Detroit Tigers. The Jays are 8-2 in their last 10. And against teams with a record greater than 500, they are 18-21. So 3 games under 500 against teams with a record better than 500, all of which is really good compared to where this team was a little earlier in the year. Seth in Toronto had a question for us.
What do we think about Yariel Rodriguez taking that closer role? I mean, he's pumping 99 tonight. I mean, he's doing the hesitation stuff. He looks confident as anyone on the mound I've ever seen. And with Hoffman giving up the amount of home runs he's given up, you know, when do we think they give that a look? Thanks, guys. I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you. Great question, Kevin.
It is. We had Petey on Friday. It was Friday. Well, when did we have Petey? Yesterday was man. Tuesday. All the days. We work a lot, Jeff. I mean, it's, you know, we're here. We're here a ton.
You work one weekend, and all of a sudden, yesterday was Friday.
Well, I did some heavy lifting. Some of us only had about 20 minutes of that working. So, yeah, that's beside the point. Anyway, look, I think.
Quality over quantity.
I think what did you say? Well, that's what you said, right?
Oh,
I think
F4. Okay, I thought you said something else. Go ahead.
No, you didn't. It's very clear. I think they've already started thinking about this. I think when Petey was on, he mentioned that, you know, when guys get back that are healthy, it might be turning into pockets. Because
I said,
you know, is it the ninth inning? Is that a worry with Hoffman? Right? That we've sort of heard that. We've heard that from John in spring training. It's sort of been rumblings of people that we've had on when he was with the Phillies, right? It sort of might be the inning that
he has not been the everyday closer for a team.
Well, it just doesn't seem right, right? When he goes out there, it just seems like he might be aiming some things. He might be overthrowing sometimes. He just ain't splitting. It ain't sliding.
Doesn't mean there's no use for him, but I'm just saying, I think we maybe need to pump the brakes a little bit on him as the full-time closer.
I think the good point is they have options.
Right. Let's go to Ernie Clement.
Kind of forced me to come out there just precautionary because we have the off day tomorrow. I guess you could just call it a defensive replacement because, you know, Barger's been doing such a great job at third. We trust him a lot.
No, we didn't
shame
or anything. You're not worried about
that? No, not at all.
What's exciting you right now about how you guys are playing this sweep off your last?
It's just, it feels like every time you know, we get punched in the mouth, we punch right back. Like it's just so exciting when they score a run and you score two. So it's the most fun we've had you know, as a group so far this year, and in past years it just feels so much different, and you know, it's fun showing up to the ballpark.
How does that feel in the dugout when you guys are down compared to last year, like knowing that you're so much more able to come back?
Yeah, I think that, you know, there's no panic, and we just feel like we're going to, you know, if we go down, we're not ever out of a game. So, you know, it's, like I said, it's so cool when, you know, when they score, we feel like we are going to come right back and put some runs up. So it takes a lot of pressure off our pitchers.
It feels like every game, every week, it's kind of a new guy for you guys.
guys. What is that feeling like when it's just every guy takes his turn kind of having a big game?
Yeah, that's what being on a team is all about. You know, 1 through 9, we're grinding, and you know, like you said, it's somebody new every time. So, you know, nobody feels like they have to do it themselves. It's a full team effort, and you know, that's how it should be.
Not to overlook your home run, but there was also a sack bunt, 2 sack flies today. Does that kind of speak to the overall kind of offense of this team, where you can do everything?
Yeah, I mean, we can do it in so many different ways. The small ball aspect of the bottom of our lineup is so fun and so I guess it's kind of lost in today's game a little bit, but I just think 1 through 9, we know our role and know what we do well, so we're all playing to our strengths right now, and it just feels really good to, you know, 1 through 9, kind of firing on all cylinders.
Your numbers against righties this year are pretty good, but against lefties, they're kind of crazy. When you step into the box against a lefty right now, like, what is your kind of comfort level?
Yeah, I'm just seeing it really well. I think, you know, righties or lefties, I feel like my chase is way down, and, you know, with kind of how our lineup's constructed, when I'm kind of down in the order, I'm getting a lot of pitches to hit, and you know, same with when I'm in the middle of the order. Our guys just 1 through 9, like we've talked about, they're just doing so well, and you know, when a pitcher feels like they never get a break, it's you know, they're prone to make a couple more mistakes, so you just got to take advantage.
There you go, Ernie Clement.
That's awesome. It is amazing when you're hitting. How much fun, how much just everything else sort of falls in play.
You know what I like about what I've liked about Ernie Clement since he first came up here, since we first saw him, and I think you understand this, and I think you know what I mean when I say this. He likes being a big leaguer. Like, he enjoys it.
And I mean, and it I've helps always, when you go 3 for 3 and you get a homer.
But,
I mean,
you know,
it
he's
helps.
Always, even last, he always enjoy, he just enjoys it. And I have time for people who don't, you know, don't mope around and you know, and hang their heads when things aren't going well.
I think he's always
going
to play a lot because he can play all over the field, yeah. Which helps. That's a big deal, right? He's not set on one position. They can move him around everywhere. He can give everyday guys days off. He knows that he's going to play a ton, which helps. And he can hit a heater, which is a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. 5-2, the Blue Jays beat the St. Louis Cardinals today. Folks, they have swept the St. Louis Cardinals. Ooh. They have the third best record in the American League right now, as we all predicted, certainly both of us in this show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Coming out of spring training. Shlomo and Scarborough had a thought for us.
So Ernie Clement, with his 3 hits today and 1 home run, now has a 1.198 OPS versus left-handed pitchers, ranking him 3rd in the AL, trailing only Aaron Judge and Paul Goldschmidt as per Sportsnet stats. Wow. So when I hear us talking on your show, and callers and yourselves talking about upgrades that can be made at the deadline, there's often talk about third base being a place that they can upgrade. How much more do we need to see from Ernie to give him the respect as an everyday player? Last year he put up Gold Glove finalist numbers. We saw him leading the team with some other stats on the screen today. I think it was WAR or F-WAR. I can't remember. But yeah, when do we look at him as an everyday player? And not just have him penciled in, but have him inked in there with a permanent marker.
Shlomo, thanks. Listen, here's what I think. I think Ernie Clement's going to be an everyday player for this team. I just don't know if he's going to be the everyday third baseman. I don't know how that's going to work out. You know, let's not get ahead of ourselves, but there's a chance Bo Bichette isn't back next year. If that's the case, maybe Andrés Giménez slides over to short and there's an opening at second base. But, you know, I look at Ernie Clement and there is... I'm not going to compare him to Ben Zobrist because I think you need to do it a little longer in order to get that comparison. Mm-hmm. But I think Shlomo, what people have been saying all along is the Jays and you know, maybe this run, if this run continues, maybe we can kind of park this argument for later on. But I think people have just been saying they need a middle of the order thumper. Where is that guy going to play? Well, he's not going to be at first base. He's not going to be at second. He's not going to be at short. He's not going to be behind the plate. Maybe there's an outfield position. Third base is kind of the one position right now. And I think that's a reflection of what people think of Ernie Clement as it is where that guy may be able
okay,
to play.
Okay, when everybody else is doing their thing and they're scoring tons of runs, Ernie can play third base. He's hitting .280 with four homers, 18 RBIs. He's got an OPS of .723. That won't play if everybody else is not doing their thing. Like, if they're not scoring a bunch of runs and he's your everyday third baseman, that's going to be a tough look. If he's playing third base most of the time or some of the time or a lot of the time and everybody else is sort of looking the way they're looking now, agreed, you're fine with Ernie playing third. Yeah. What's wrong with Ernie doing what Ernie's doing now? Like roaming all over the place.
I'm with you.
Giving the first baseman a day off when there's a lefty, you know, the second baseman has a day off. When Bo needs a DH day, he's playing short. Like, what's wrong with that, right? Barger's taking hold of, you know, sort of when there's a righty in the game, he can play third. Like, I mean, we don't, you know, have to sort of say that he's the third baseman no matter what. I mean, again, he is hitting four with four homers.
Yeah.
Like, you need your third baseman, I would think, everyday guy. And let Ernie do Ernie things.
Back to the text board, Ian from Brampton. When are we going to start talking about the Jays' bottom half of the order? Tough to keep this up, but if they do and the big boys start hitting like they should, this team will be dangerous. We have spent a great deal talking about the bottom of the order.
Yeah.
Randy from Dartmouth, Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
Who are the Jays? Who are the all-stars for the Jays this year? Well, we'll go. I want to go to the. We got a couple of voice notes I want to get to. But you go ahead,
Kirky.
Yeah, I mean Vladdy's going to be voted on, voted in probably. If you want to talk, if you want to leave aside the who's going to get voted in, who isn't going to get voted in, et cetera, if you want to
by
just
their
say
play,
right now,
who's earned it?
I would go Kirk. Kirk would be my choice. I still might go Kevin Gausman, but you know, I mean, there's a lot of pitchers out there, but Kirk would be the guy that stands out for me right now. Yeah, I think that's obvious. I'm sure Vladdy will get a lot of votes,
and he should. He's he's sure. The face of the franchise.
Oh, stop it!
I absolutely is. It's no question.
Oh God,
absolutely.
I mean, anyhow. Face of the franchise.
Well, who is it?
Well, as you would say, there's only one guy being paid to be the face of the franchise. That's the big guy at
first
base.
They gave him 14. He'll be the face for about 10 of the 14. How's that sound?
All right.
Okay.
Brian in Lincoln, Nebraska.
I really think a lot of casual fans are underappreciating the job John Schneider has done this season so far. His leadership and confidence in his guys are palpable, and like you can see it in the way the team plays, right? What does John have to do to get the respect of these Toronto fans? Honestly, I think he could be a candidate for manager of the year if this keeps up, you know?
AJ,
love listening to you guys, and hope you have a great off day tomorrow.
Win a playoff series.
Thanks, Brian.
That's where I would start. Win a playoff series. I mean, I would think that's probably the only way.
Yeah.
Because if you're a John hater, nothing's going to change that unless they win a playoff series.
I'm going to jump. I don't think there are a lot of John haters. There are people who second guess the manager all the time. There are a lot of people who fell in love with Gibby in 2015. And as I say, Gibby was fired from the Jays manager's job before 2015. And when he was fired, people were happy to see him go. So this is all, I don't pay any attention to what fans think about a manager. I just don't. People wanted Aaron Boone fired, right? Dave Roberts was going to be fired a couple of years ago. People wanted Dave Roberts fired. I mean, that's just the way fans are. I will say this. It's interesting. The Athletic ran a player survey today of how players view managers and organizations. And the Athletic, we also saw a survey done last year of front offices. And you know what amazed me about everything?
What's that?
How the Jays don't get mentioned.
Ever.
They don't get mentioned good. They don't necessarily get mentioned bad. You know, is John Schneider a manager everybody loves playing for? Didn't see his name. Is he a manager nobody wants to play for? Didn't see his name. The Jays are just kind of in the middle. Players hate playing in Toronto. The Jays are in the middle. There are organizations, you know, they dislike more than the Blue Jays. It's just the way it is because the Jays haven't had that recent postseason moment. And when I say recent postseason moment, 2015 was 10 years ago, folks. in this day and age, that is a hell of a long time to go without a postseason moment. You know what the Jays' two postseason moments are since
What's that?
Springer and Bo running into each other in the outfield and Jose Berrios being yanked out of the game.
Yeah.
Those are the Jays' playoffs. Two postseason moments.
Win a playoff
moments.
Series.
Win a playoff
Everybody
series.
Everybody will love you then.
Yeah, well, yeah. At least it'll change the dial.
Yeah.
As for manager of the year, I mean, I'll tell you, if you had to go 1-2-3, if you had to do a ballot 1-2-3, number one is
Tigers.
To me is A.J. Hinch.
Yeah.
Where are you going after that?
Astros. They're in first place in the West.
Maybe.
You would think they're going to be in the first place?
Maybe.
With what they don't have? With what they haven't had?
Maybe.
With how they haven't been doing?
I wouldn't argue that. I might go Astros. And then where? I mean,
if Kevin Cash and the Rays do something, I'm sure you could throw his name in the hat.
Right, but right now, I think you can make a case for John. You know, to be in the mix.
He wouldn't win it, but he's in the mix. He's in the conversation, maybe.
Yeah, I don't have any problem saying that at all.
No,
people's heads are exploding. People are driving off the Gardener right now and cry. Well, they're driving off the Gardener anyhow, so it doesn't matter. Let's go back to the voice note. Jason in Calgary. We're going all over the place. Jason in Calgary.
Any concern about Chad Green's arm? He seems to be getting hit more than usual these days. A little bit worried about his physical shape.
Yeah, I don't know.
You and me both, man.
Well, I don't know if it's physical. I just maybe think his stuff's not real good now. I don't know if that has anything to do with his arm. I don't know about how he feels. Velocity seems about like the same.
Yeah.
I don't think he has a pitch to get a lefty out. I don't know. You know, the pocket thing, it's rare that you see three righties in a row. So when would you pitch him? That's the thing, right? I mean, do you want to see him in the eighth? Nope. Do you want to see him in the ninth?
Hell no.
Nope. Do you want to see him in the seventh against two lefties and a righty? Absolutely not.
I mean, I almost
I don't know when you use him.
I mean, I almost hate to say this, but you know what? Actually, before I answer that, let's go to the text board, because we had Zane from Ottawa. Bingo. Zane and the caller were on the same page. When Jimmy Garcia and Nick Sandlin come back, who goes down? It would be hard to send Fisher down after what he's done. Are Chad Green and Eric Swanson on the chopping block?
I would think so.
Yeah.
I think it's about winning. I think you take the best you got. If those other guys are better, they're going to take the other guys. I think they've shown you all season.
They're not messing around anymore. Yeah,
and you
might also be able to get a little something at the trade deadline for Chad Green or Eric Swanson. You know, because, again, it's baseball. Everybody wants to reinvent
the
wheel.
Let me ask you a question. Just picking one of the two, which one you picking? You can't get rid of both. You could get rid of one. Which one you keeping? Swanson or Green?
Do I have to keep one?
Absolutely. Depth. Somebody's getting hurt. You're going to have to keep one. Who are you keeping? Answer alone.
I'm probably keeping Chad Green because he's not going to get hurt. But if you're asking me in terms of, I'm keeping Eric Swanson. Yeah, I'm keeping Eric Swanson.
Basically, you have no idea who you're picking.
Put it this way. When Nick Sandlin and Jimmy Garcia come back, if they're both gone, I'm not getting rid of both.
They need depth. You're not getting rid of both. And again, it's back to Fishers of the world. I know how he's been doing. There's a veteran part of that.
Right, but we're
you know,
also,
when the lights get brighter, I get the Fisher stuff, how he's looked when he's thrown, when he has thrown, how he's looked against who he's thrown against.
Yeah, but you're
it's still a little bit of that.
We're talking about if you bring two dudes back. And who knows with Jimmy Garcia? Yeah,
like, he's not even throwing yet, is he?
I think he's throwing a flat mound or something. I mean, who knows what you're going to get out of him when you get back. I mean, he's an older guy. I mean, he's got a lot of miles in his arm. So, yeah, I think you pump the brakes on it a bit. But, look, I said this, Nick Sandlin, when that deal was made, somebody in the organization told me, you know, we were kind of rolling our eyes at the deal, and it seemed like a bunch of nothing at the time. They were getting a good glove in him and his, you know, and they said, I mean, Nick Sandlin, and then you look at his numbers, he was going to get a lot of work for
it's
this.
Been gone a long time, though.
Yeah, well, but lat injuries, right? Side injuries. I mean, they do take a long time, but it does make you wonder.
Well,
because
it'll make you wonder, too, what they think about either stuff or experience.
Yeah.
Which one you going with? Because there is the thing. We talked about the ninth inning. Experience matters, especially on good teams. I don't know the right answer to that. I don't have enough numbers to back into that to see who I'd pick or who I wouldn't pick. I don't know the
answer. You know what? I'm going to say this. Hopefully Sandlin and Garcia come back, and I can make a deal at the trade deadline. I can get rid of both of them, to be honest. Well, there you go. Jesus. I mean, I'm being honest.
Wow.
Andrew and Keswick had a question.
First of all, I love watching what the Jays are doing right now. The games are exciting. The games are enjoyable. Defense, offense, it's all great. I can't help but, and I know, try not to be negative about anything, but I can't help but feel, you know, what happens when Santander comes back? Not so much about Varsho, because I know, but these guys have been working together so well. They're meshing, they're gelling. And, you know, anytime you implement a change, it can shake up what's working. You know, what do you guys feel about that kind of chemistry as far as, you know, when these guys come back, you know, you're basically disrupting what's been working?
I mean,
not really.
Yeah, well, first of all, let's see when he gets back.
Yeah.
First of all, there's no guarantee that the quote-unquote chemistry will still be working. It is remarkable how these things do find ways of answering themselves. But Kevin's right. He comes back. He's in the lineup.
You got to ask yourself, is he hitting in front of – go through this. Yep. He ain't hitting in front of Bo.
Agreed.
He ain't hitting in front of Vladdy.
Agreed.
He ain't hitting in front of Kirky.
Agreed.
He ain't hitting in front of Springer.
Agreed.
He ain't hitting in front of Barger. So you're looking right there, right? I mean, is it going to change the way Barger looks if he does hit in front of him? Is it going to change the way the bottom of the lineup is performing with Tony in the lineup?
Hmm.
That's the thing, right? You drop what you dropped on him so he can run into things. This little time away, maybe have cleared things between the ears. Maybe he's worked on something mechanically. I have no idea. Maybe it'll look different when he gets back. Maybe he'll start thumping. I think that's what they're counting on. I just don't see how that will change what's going on around him. It's all about who would hit in front of him. It really don't matter who's hitting behind him, because behind him, they know what their role is. Ernie's telling you. It's not me telling you. It's Ernie telling you. So I just don't think... You know, you pick your names that you think are hitting in front of him, and John will put them in front of him. I mean, he's already done it. He will continuously doing it to do it. So I just don't think that's a thing anymore. I think he'll play because how much money they're paying him, and they really do think he's going to run into some things. So do I.
Oh, I do too.
Me too. He'll help.
The track up.
Yeah. Oh, he's going to help.
Yeah.
It's looked ugly. He's going to help.
There'll be a better, trust me, in August, there'll be a better lineup with him than without him. I mean, then Varsho comes back, and then you've really got some conversation.
Yeah, the chemistry thing. I think it's more about your buddies pulling for a guy that's gotten off to a slow start for whatever reason that is, and they'll all be in his corner to help him and hopefully get him off to the start when he comes back that everybody hopes he can be. So I'm in that camp. I think you stick him in the fifth or sixth spot. You leave him there. You put dudes in front of him that are better hitters than he is right now, and you see how many homers he can hit. Yeah.
Makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
So the Toronto Blue Jays have beaten the St. Louis Cardinals 5-2. They have swept the Cardinals. They have the third best record in the American League right now. Hands up those of you who thought that was – you lie. They have the third best record in the American League right now. They have an off day tomorrow, and then they take on the Phillies on Friday. Blair and Barker will be on tomorrow in our usual time from 4 to 6 Eastern on Sportsnet. We'll be doing Blue Jays talk following the game Friday as well. And don't forget, 416-413-3959, the back leg line. The skipper, John Schneider, joins us on Friday. If you've got a question for him, leave it on the back leg line. So, thank you for listening and watching Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Etobicoke and Streetsville. Crown is proud to be Canadian-owned and operated since 1986. To protect your vehicle from rust today at your local Crown Rust Control Center or visit crown.com. Crown, Canada's number one rust protection.
I want them bad. Boy, it's a lot of fun when they're winning, isn't it?